Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I want to read verses 14 through verse 17. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or justified shall live by faith. Since December 2018, we've been looking at verses 18 through 32. We've looked pretty much at every word in verses 18 through 32. The subject matter of the verses that we just read is the gospel. And it serves as the introduction to verses 18 through verse 32. So though they serve as the introduction, we're making it the conclusion of this series of messages. What we read in verses 17 or verse 14 through 17 is God's remedy for verses 18 through 32. Politics will not fix verses 18 through 32. Man will not fix verses 18 through 32. The remedy is what we read here. So we're going to speed up because I do want to finish this series and we won't be here much longer. So we're going to do my best, not good at surveys, but we'll survey these verses 14 through 17. But by way of review, verse 18, again, verse 14 through 17, the subject's a gospel. Verse 18, for the wrath of God. He's changed subjects. The subject of verse 18 through 32 is the wrath of God. And as you read through verses 18 through 32, you see that it is the aspect of God's wrath that is being spoken of is the abandoning wrath of God. That is, God leaving man to himself. And that's where we live. That's our society today. God has abandoned man, if you will. He's left man to himself. He's turned him over to a reprobate mind. And that's made very plain, and we've spent a lot of time since December 2018 on that matter. So the abandoning wrath of God due to man's sin. And it's a society thing, and that's why things continually get worse, because man's been left to himself. The awful spiral of human depravity is what you see in verses 18 through 32. What you see is the process, and it is a process. It is the process of secularization. Everybody should be very familiar. All of God's people should be very familiar with verses 18 through 32 because it explains everything that's happening in our world. It not only explains what's happening, it tells us basically what's coming next. You just follow the process, and we should not be shocked. So what is illustrated in verses 18 through 32 is the mess that humanity is in and why it continues and why it will continue to get worse. People who say, well, the world is getting better. Well, I don't know what world they live in, but they have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever of God's chain of events, and they have no knowledge whatsoever, verses 18 through 32 of Romans chapter 1. Things are not going to get better in this world. Things are going to continually get worse, carrying the world into the tribulation period. The world is being set up for the reign of the Antichrist. And all this is made very plain in the Scriptures. So what is spoken of here in verses 18 through 32 is the degeneration of a society. And this has been going on for a long time. This didn't just start 20 years ago. This has been going on for a long, long time, even before you and I came upon the scene. It's a picture of a society plunging toward destruction, plunging toward ruin. And it explains how it happens. It's a picture of a society corrupt, enslaved to corruption, submerged in the mire and the muck of sin, sinking further and further into the depths of spiritual and moral bankruptcy. And verses 18 through 32 tells us how it all happens. How it all happens. God left them to themselves to do those things which are not convenient. So it's the path of degradation, the path into the depths of sin. What we see here is a picture of an atheistic, secularized, pluralistic state. That's what is being described in verses 18 through 32. And again, it's a cycle, as we've pointed out since December 2018. This is a cycle. This is a process. But God does have a remedy. God has a remedy. And that is the gospel. That's the remedy. Again, we cannot stress enough, God's people have fallen into this trap for a long time. Well, we just have to elect the right people to office and that'll fix it. No, it won't. Yes, I agree, we have to elect the right people to office, but that won't fix this. Because this is God's plan, carrying the world into the tribulation period. And you're not going to stop God's plan. But there is a remedy for those who will listen, and that is the gospel. And that's what he's addressing here in verses 14 through 17. So the best thing to do when you're talking to someone of a reprobate mind, and that's most of the population, by the way, present to them the gospel, because that's their only hope. That's their only hope. So what is the gospel? Well, we all know it's the good news. The word gospel means good news. It means glad tidings. Paul wrote in Romans 10:15, as it is written, and he's referring to Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of the men of them that preach the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. Not peace between man and man, but peace between God and man. And bring glad tidings of good things. So the gospel is a gospel of peace. It is news concerning peace between God and man. It is glad tidings of good things. From this, we see that the gospel is information. It's information of good things. It is good news. It is a declaration. It is a proclamation. It is a report of good things. Of good things. It is referred to in several ways throughout the New Testament. And the references that are made further explain what the gospel is. It is referred to seven times as the gospel of God. It is the gospel of God. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God. So it is good news from God, and it is good news concerning God. And this is the remedy. This is the only thing that can fix verses 18 through 32. Good news from God. Good news about God. It is referred to in Romans 1 and verse 9. Notice there, Romans 1 verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. So it is the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, it is good news concerning Jesus Christ. It is good news, it is information declared and proclaimed concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this is the remedy, because it is the power of God unto salvation. What do the people need in verses 18 through 32? They need salvation, they need deliverance. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, it is what God uses to bring about salvation, to bring about the deliverance that man so desperately needs. So it is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of his Son. It is also referred to several times as the gospel of peace. I said several times, really twice. Romans 10, verse 15, Ephesians 6, verse 15. The gospel of peace. Good news, information declared, proclaimed and presented concerning the way of peace with God. The way of peace with God. And that happens to be through his Son. You cannot have peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of his Son. It is the gospel of peace. Also, in Ephesians 1:13, it is referred to as the gospel of your salvation. In other words, it's good news, it's information declared, it's proclaimed, it's reported and presented concerning deliverance and rescue. Salvation, that's a deliverance, that's a rescue. Society needs to be delivered from verses 18 through 32. Society and individuals need to be delivered from verses 18 through 32. They need to be rescued. And therefore, it is the gospel of salvation. It is good news concerning salvation. The agenda of politicians does not fix verses 18 through 32. The agenda of any individual does not fix it. There's only one remedy, and that is the gospel. It is referred to as the hope of the gospel. In other words, it's good news of hope and assurance from God. There is hope. There is hope for society. There is hope for individuals. But the hope is the gospel. The hope is what is declared in the gospel. That's the only place of man's hope. Hope is not in the Democratic Party. Hope is not in the Republican Party. Hope is not in so-called progression. Hope is in the Lord. There is no other. That's the only place of hope. But the problem is, when a society is given over to a reprobate mind, we've already seen this over and over, what do? They reject God. They dismiss God. They expel God from everything. It is also referred to as the truth of the gospel. Galatians 2, verse 5, Galatians 2, verse 14, Colossians 1, verse 5. Everything declared, proclaimed, reported, and presented in the gospel is truth. whether man believes it or not, doesn't change what is true. Whether you believe facts or not doesn't change the facts. Whatever you feel does not change the truth or the gospel. And again, a society plunging to its own ruin does not change truth. Oh, they try to change truth, but truth does not change. And the gospel is the truth of the gospel. In other words, the gospel is conformable to fact. It is in accord with the actual state of things. The truth is, man does not want to know the actual state of things. He really doesn't. He doesn't want to go there. So he makes up how he perceives society. But the gospel is the simple, absolute, fixed, immovable, unchangeable, inflexible truth of God concerning the salvation of souls. It is genuine, it is real, and it is opposed to everything that is erroneous. It's what you can depend upon. You can't depend upon man. You can't depend upon a political party. But you can depend upon the gospel. You can depend upon the gospel, God. So the message of the gospel is a solid rock in the midst of shifting sand. It is also referred to as the glorious gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. The word glorious, of course, speaks of that which is illustrious, that which is eminent, that which is preeminent, that which is very influential, wonderful, marvelous, magnificent. The message of the gospel is remarkable. The message of the gospel is extraordinary. It's not the ordinary. It's blasphemy, and it's an attack on the gospel to try to make it ordinary. It's not ordinary. It's of God. It's extraordinary. And when man wants to make it just like anything else, he has attacked the gospel. And he's no longer presenting the remedy. The news of the gospel is the most significant, the most extraordinary, the most amazing, and influential news that there's ever been. And it's news that concerns everyone throughout history. The gospel is the remedy. The gospel is definite. It is distinct. It is particular. It is exclusive. It is referred to with the definitive adjective, the. Every time it's referred to in the Bible, it's either the gospel, it's never a gospel. Never. It's never referred to in the New Testament as a gospel. The gospel. The gospel. 86 times, the gospel. 4 times, it's referred to as this gospel. But again, it's never a gospel. That implies that there are several. There's one. And therefore, it is the gospel. You follow the word throughout the New Testament, it's never referred to in generalities. Never. The New Testament is never vague when it speaks of the gospel. The gospel is presented in very precise terms all through the New Testament. Times have changed. Again, I'm reminded all the time what, well, Brother Dan, you do know it's 2020. Yeah, what's your point? Times have changed. I understand that, but the gospel hasn't. Word of God hasn't. God hasn't. God does not have to adjust to the times. He is. he is. So the gospel, times have changed, societies have changed. We've seen much change just in our lifetime. Culture changes, we've seen much change in our lifetime. But the gospel never needs updating. Never needs updating. And anybody who tries to update it's trying to improve it. It's the gospel of God. How dare man try to improve on what God has done? That's blasphemy. The gospel doesn't need updating. The message does not need updating. It is the particular and distinct gospel. And it is the remedy for the world that we live in. Again, the gospel is of God. It is a declaration from God. It is a declaration about God. It is a proclamation. It is a presentation. It is a report coming from God. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 1, "But I certify, that is, I verify and I confirm unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." It is not of man. That makes the gospel more than a philosophy. If it's of man, it's just a philosophy. But it's not of man. It's of God. If it's of man, it's just an idea. But it's not of man. It's more than an idea. If it's of man, it's an opinion. But it's not of man. It's of God. So the gospel is more than a philosophy. It's more than an idea. It's more than an opinion. It is a message from God. And it is an affirmative statement. Whenever God speaks, it's affirmative. It is an affirmative statement from God. It is not the invention of man. It did not come from a human source. It does not have its basis in man. It is not dependent upon human reasoning or human ideas. It did not originate with man. It did not even originate with the religious world. It is the message of God. And here we are in a society that is on the fast track to destruction, and what they need is the message of God. That's what they need. That's what they need to hear, is the message of God. It is, again, it is a definite message. It is a present message. It is a continuous message. It is a certain message. It is dependable, it is reliable, and it is suitable to the times in which we live. It's exclusive. It's extraordinary. It's unparalleled. It's incomparable. It stands alone. And it stands alone on its own merit. It does not need man. The gospel stands alone on its own merit. Never has there been a more needed, a more remarkable, a more momentous, a more meaningful message than the message of the gospel. It stands needing no alteration from man. God is perfect. His message is perfect. You do not add to it. You do not take from it. Well, we have to because times have changed. You don't know who God is. If that's your reasoning, you have no clue who God is. God doesn't need to change. God is still what man needs today. So rather than getting into, and it's easy to fall into the trap, believe me, in a political argument with people, tell them what they need. And that's God. They need the Lord. That's what they need. They don't need the Democrat Party or Republican Party or the Libertarian Party or the Independent. That's not what they need. They need the gospel. And that's the remedy. And that's what we are to be taking to the world. What good does it do to argue with a lost person about politics? What good does that do? What they need is the gospel. Present to them the gospel. Lord, help us. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, God, for the clarity of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. And we just pray that you would help us to always present it to mankind. Pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us today. We do pray for those that are lost, that you'd speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. Pray that you'd draw each one of us closer to thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.